The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh yeah, welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with the plan, the Ed Man, here to give you some of the news for the past week. And we got a couple of choices here. Where do we want to go to? We can make fun of Hillary Clinton. That's always a good idea. We've got the Democrat debate that we could talk about, and we've got the impeachment hearings. All of that's real exciting, right? I think first thing we'll talk about, well, you know what? Let's start the show off with a bang, and let's play the latest Hillary cackle. So since October, I've had some fun playing a couple of Hillary Clinton's laughs during the show, and I've got a beauty here for you guys. Now, I promise you, I have not edited this clip at all. I've not enhanced her evil laugh. All that I've done is I've copied this audio. I've boosted it a little bit because the original audio was low, but I have not, like, added anything to it. I haven't enhanced it other than the volume. And I haven't even enhanced the volume of the laugh. I've just enhanced the volume of the entire clip because the clip the volume of the clip is very low. And so to prove that I haven't done anything, I'm actually going to let the previous question play. So this is Hillary and Chelsea Clinton on their phony book tour here. And Chelsea is finishing answering a question. And then all the reporter does is says, I have got some cracking pictures of you. And Hillary laughs hysterically, cracking pictures. I guess that's great pictures. But she's English or something. So, here's the clip. And again, I haven't changed anything. This is her laugh.
And we all need to be doing more.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. Now, look, I've got some cracking pictures that I want to share with you. First of all, can I just say, who is this gorgeous lady?
Love that so much.
I'm looking. I just wish she still had the.
She's laughing like she won the election. Could you imagine having that for like 4 to 8 years? And you know, when people say things like that, they're like, oh, you're a misogynist because, you know, if a man was laughing, you wouldn't say anything. But when a woman laughs, you know, then suddenly it's screeching. Dude, I don't know any woman that laughs like that. Not in real life. My girlfriend says that it reminds her of when Ursula gained all the power in The Little Mermaid. The Ursula was that octopus-looking lady, and she's like a sorceress or something like that. She was a witch, right? A undersea witch. Well, I'm going to play the clip side by side, and you tell me which one is spookier. I mean, the Ursula clip I'm going to play here, she's a professional voice actor, right? And then I'll play Hillary Clinton's laugh right afterwards, and you tell me which one's scarier. I mean, just for fun. We're like 2.5 minutes in the show, right? It's just for fun.
Ha! It's done then!
No! All right, so that was Ursula from Little Mermaid. Here's Hillary.
First of all, can I just say, who is this gorgeous lady? Amazing. Love
that. Yeah, I mean, I think sound-wise, I'd take Ursula for 8 years. If I had to choose, I'm saying. And really, under Ursula, probably less people would eat it, too. I mean, you know, she wanted power, but once she got it, I don't know how she'd roll. Would she have constant foreign wars overseas? You know what I'm saying? I mean, theoretically, it might be better under Ursula than under Hillary Clinton. I mean, Hillary would be the head of the military. The commander in chief. I think probably we'd lose less people under Ursula. I mean, this is all speculation. I don't know. But I saw the movie and I watched the election. So, you know, I think I might be informed well enough to make that call. All right. Speaking of watching the election, I did watch the Democrat debate and it was terrible. It was really a very non-exciting affair. I think I know why they have the moderators try to get the candidates fight each other, because if they don't, it's really pretty boring. I mean, we know where everybody stands on the issues at this point, don't we? Everybody, they all want to just give away as much stuff as possible. Some of them want to give away a little bit less. Elizabeth Warren did change her stance on Medicare for All. So her old position was everybody should get everything for free, including, you know, illegals, and just get free health care for everybody. And now she's pulled back on that because she was getting criticized on how to pay for the plan, and she didn't revamp that. We still don't know how she's going to pay for it. She says that she's going to tax the billionaire class. And she also said that now she's changing it. So she got shellacked on forcing people to drop their old health care. You know, the establishment candidates would say, well, people love their old health care and you're going to make them get rid of it. She didn't really have a good answer for that, other than people are going to like the new system a lot more. So now she's made it where people have the option to keep their old health care. And after about 3 months, they'll take a vote on it. I think it's 3 months or maybe 3 years. I could be getting the time window wrong. But basically, she's saying that after a certain amount of time, people will like the new way of doing it so much that they'll drop their old plans, and then we'll have a true Medicare for All system. So that's her angle on that now. So now she can both say that everybody's covered for everything, and she can also say that you get to keep your old insurance, your old doctor. So she's really promising the moon here, but she's doing well. So, you know, she wants to keep that high spot that she's got right now. Joe Biden is Joe Biden, but he's still, you know, people make fun of his debate performance, and he did poorly. Okay, so I'm not going to change that. But the main reason he does poorly is because you can see him losing his train of thought. But the ideas he's saying, if you can get past some of the archaic verbiage, which is embarrassing. I mean, last debate, I think it was, he was telling people that they need to keep records on for their kids at night so that they can absorb more information. And, you know, nobody uses records anymore. So, but is that true? Don't they not? What do they call the new kids? Not the millennials. Who are the hipsters? Yeah, the hipsters, I think, keep records. Now, the trend has come back, but I don't think he's aware of that. I think he's still on the RCA record players, and that's what I think he actually meant. I don't think he's aware of records coming back for a subculture here in the society. But he did a good job fighting against Pete Buttigieg, and Buttigieg has been rising high in the polls. He's the establishment's new star. It seems like so. Biden had to fight him off a little bit. And there was a little scuffle between Buttigieg and Tulsi Gabbard. Also, Tulsi Gabbard pointed out that Pete Buttigieg wants to move troops into Mexico, which, you know, what do we care about Mexico, right? So he's saying that we're going to solve the problem in Mexico, helping out Mexico by moving troops in there, which to me is nuts because we have a lot of problems here. Why do we have to worry about helping out Mexico with troops? That's not going to solve the problem. That's just going to get us embedded in another country, again, using our resources to help somebody else out. When the corruption is at the top, just solve that. Also, I know that we're kind of involved there a little bit already. So if we just kind of remove our shenanigans there, you know, like selling arms to the drug cartels there. If you remember, the Obama administration got caught red-handed doing that. Never answered for that, as far as I know. So you want to talk about corruption in government, you know, you don't have to look at the Trump administration. You can see what's happened that bring us to where we are now. And they've never paid anything, so now they're trying to get Trump on this phony charge. But I digress. I digress. Moving off topic a little bit, let's stick with the debate here. So Tulsi Gabbard calls out Buttigieg for wanting to move troops into Mexico. Buttigieg says, oh, that's insane. You think that I want to invade Mexico? And laughs about it. Well, she didn't say that. And then she reiterated, you did say that you wanted to put troops in Mexico. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And, of course, Tulsi is campaigning on less foreign involvement in the world, not more. And Buttigieg is wanting the opposite here. So, I mean, you know, take what you will from that exchange. Buttigieg made it look like Tulsi was accusing him of invading Mexico. And then he said, but I'm not doing that, so you're wrong. But her initial argument was that he wants to move troops into Mexico, and he really does. All right, so who else of import was it? Oh, Tom Steyer was in the debate. You know, I feel like Joe Biden got a good one on him, too. I feel like Tom Steyer actually didn't do that good. And in fact, I don't know if he did this intentionally, because Yang seems like a nice guy, but I mean, these are politicians, right? Yang sort of emasculated Tom Steyer on stage by saying that, well, you know, he's done a lot of good things for a global, for climate change. He's given a lot of money and speeches towards climate change. So I think he should be applauded for that. And Tom's like, thank you, Yang. And Yang's like, no problem. So just kind of a strange exchange there. I mean, you know, it's not that out of the ordinary, I guess, in everyday life. But to see it up on stage where they're just kind of really, in a short moment, friendly to each other. Although I do remember in the previous election cycle when Jeb Bush said his Secret Service name was going to be the Energizer Bunny, and Donald Trump gave him a high five for that, or low five. You know, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm surprised Trump didn't take his hand away at the last second, because Jeb Bush hit it really hard. I think he was trying to do physical damage to Trump. If you have a chance, go back and look at that video. Now, Yang had a good debate performance. You know, if you're somebody who is going to be attracted to the policies that Yang has, he's getting them across pretty clearly. But of course, his policies are anathema to the conservatives, who think that the worst thing in the world is a freeloader. And Yang wants to give a universal basic income of $1,000 a month to anybody who is basically alive. Now, I'll tell you, I personally don't think it'll work. I mean, I don't think it would make a difference in anything. But Yang's proposal is to give $1,000 a month to anybody over 18 years of age. But here's the catch, and this is why I am actually kind of on board for this. I'm willing to try this out. And here's why. Because his deal is, in order to get that income, you have to forego any other aid. No food stamps, no welfare checks, no nothing. So I think that is actually a good plan. We might actually come out ahead on that. So I like this idea. I'm willing to try this idea. Now here's why I think it wouldn't work. Look, if everybody has $1,000 a month base to spend, the prices of everything is going to go up to reflect that. So I don't think it ever... You really can't get away, in my opinion, with giving away money to like a whole population, because then the water level kind of rises. And now everything is going to be, you know, rent is obviously going to go up to reflect that. So I don't think you're really coming out ahead overall. I think it's useless, right? The price of everything will go up to wipe out that $1,000 a month. He has some other proposals also, which are like he wants to put on a value-added tax, but he wouldn't be taxing things like groceries and clothing. Now, again, you know, I like the idea. I don't know if this is his proposal specifically, but I like the idea of a flat tax. And the reason why is because then people could see exactly what they're spending. And Herman Cain proposed this with a 999 tax, something like that. And people were saying, no, because you know what politicians will do. They'll just raise those taxes. That's not a good reason. They raise them anyway. At least now you'll be able to see when they do it. You know, when the problem is the way it is now, where they can raise taxes on a segment of society and it's invisible to the average person. But if you had a giant billboard and you had places posting the present tax rate, you could tell if that tax went up or down immediately. To be able to calculate your income and know immediately exactly how much you're paying in taxes would be fantastic. As opposed to right now, where people think, do you realize that Americans think that businesses don't pay any tax? Because you have these huge businesses that can negotiate tax rates like Walmart and Amazon, they think that the average business person doesn't pay any tax. That's just sort of a subconscious bias in people's minds. I mean, maybe if they thought about it, but you know, if you tell somebody that you own a business, they think you've got it made. They think you're rich, even if you are the last person to get paid in that business. Even if you have to go without getting paid in the business so that you can make payroll or whatever that business needs for that month. People have no idea how a business works thanks to the garbage schools that we've got in this country. The garbage schools that people like Bernie Sanders want to make free for everybody. They want to make, I mean, college obviously is not getting the job done right now. You look at the people who are entering the workforce, their skills are below par. College is not cutting it anymore. Maybe college was good once. I've definitely heard my grandfather say, you need a college education. But that's not true anymore, I don't think. And I don't think it's been true for a while, actually. Probably you could go straight to work for somebody. And if you need skills, they'll point you to where you need to go to get those skills. I can read a web page way faster than I hear a boring professor read verbatim from a book or tell me what chapters to look up and read silently while he plays on Facebook or something. Now, college has become kind of superfluous. I remember a long time ago, I read this science fiction book, and they were like, okay, kids, now go to this computer and look at this program. The internet didn't exist at the time that the story was created. But the author had the foresight to realize that one day we would be using computers instead of textbooks. Well, at this point, do we even need the teacher anymore? Can't the employer point you to some wiki page that has the information that you need and then he or a team would guide you into the things that you need to know? I mean, is a college education even necessary anymore? I don't think it is. I think we're doing it sort of out of habit. But now Bernie Sanders wants to institute it and make it part of a permanent part of things. Because, you know, once we do something, we can't take it back. Once we start Medicare, you can't take it back. Social Security, once you start Medicaid, can't take it back. All of these programs are permanent now, and we cannot take them back because even the people who were once against them maybe at one point in time are saying, I don't want to lose out on my benefits. I paid into the system. I deserve to get it back. And they're right. They do deserve to get it back. So what can you do? They're instituted permanently, and he's going to do the same thing with this, in my opinion, unnecessary segment of society. All right, I'm kind of running out of time here, so why don't I jump over to the Schiff show that's happening here. And I said Schiff, S-C-H-I-F-F, as in Adam Schiff. The Schiff show that's happening with the impeachment hearing. So they've come to a conclusion. One of these paper, what's the name of that paper? The something Bee? The Babylon Bee. Very funny from what I've seen. I actually haven't read it, but I've seen some of the excerpts from their site. It's a satirical paper, kind of like The Onion, or I think it's a website. And one of the headlines they ran was, impeachment hearings canceled after 5 days for low ratings. Anyway, I have people that I know who are Trump supporters, or maybe even former Trump supporters. They're kind of mad at him right now, coming up to me and saying things like, oh, you know, they got him. They got him. Nancy Pelosi is so smart. They got him. He is Trump's goose's cook, basically, you know, and acting as if he's done. So I'm like, you know what, maybe I missed something in the hearings, and maybe, you know, I haven't watched them verbatim like many times I do, but these are some long hearings, guys, and they are boring because nothing's happening. It's like reading a modern comic book. It's terrible. So I'm like, maybe I missed something in this, in the hearings. Let me go and research this and see exactly what's going on. I'm like, okay, so give me the people that really damaged Trump and that are, you know, that put him away and prove that he is corrupt and that he is using the system for illegal means, right? Guys, this is just like the Russia investigation. Every time I look into something and I get more in depth in it, it turns out to be nothing at its source. I'm going to play two clips that basically encapsulate the hearing. Actually, you know what? Maybe I should do this. Well, I'm running short of time. I guess I'll just tell you. So I look at the headlines on CNN and on MSNBC. Of course, I know MSNBC is going to be biased. CNN, even though they're incredibly biased, they still have some credibility left over from when they used to be good. So you figure if you see something on CNN, it's real, right? Not so. That is not definitely not the case. Not anymore. I mean, they'll tell you it's raining when the sky is completely clear and not even care or issue a retraction anymore or anything. These news organizations are terrible. AP News does this now. You know, there are some stories of these organizations that once were so credible, and now they're retroactively changing their stories without issuing corrections, which is unheard of. No news organizations with any credibility would have ever done that, and now they're doing it more and more often. And when you have places like YouTube and Facebook either redirecting or flat out censoring the news, it's kind of scary because now lies can spread even faster. Misinformation can spread even faster. You know, when I try to look up a clip on YouTube, I can't find the clip that I look for anymore because they send me, they take the results, anything politically oriented, they take and they give you to these mainstream media sources that are all biased tremendously and irrationally biased against Donald Trump. So I'm reading about how they've got him, and this last one was Sondland. So Sondland is the ambassador to Ukraine. So if anybody knows that there's corruption, quid pro quo, all of that stuff, it's him, right? And they're talking about this phone call that got overheard, and Sondland was on this phone call. And that was a whole mess, this third-party source. This person, this person is like, oh, yeah, I heard him. I heard Trump on the phone. And even though he wasn't on speakerphone, I could hear what he said. Chris Cuomo on CNN calls his mother to prove that you're able to overhear somebody on a phone conversation, even in a busy restaurant, right? In a busy restaurant across the table. So already this is sketch. But then he has silence in the studio. He has a person right next to him. He calls his mother. The person right next to him could not hear, Dana Bash, could not hear Chris Cuomo on the phone. It was just hilarious. It was like when OJ's attorney try to put the glove on OJ, right? And OJ is showing how it doesn't fit. Or actually, the attorney didn't do it. OJ tried to put it on himself, and it didn't fit, and then he gets off because of that. If the glove does not fit, you must acquit. So, just a clown show. So Sondland, the ambassador, he flips on Trump, right? So he says, yes, there was quid pro quo. And then the news media goes nuts, says Sondland says there was quid pro quo, this and that, right? So he flips on Trump, and guess what? They get Sondland up on stage, and they start asking him actual questions, and it turns out it's all his opinion. He's asked point blank, do you have any proof that there was quid pro quo? And he said, I've never said that there was proof. I've always said that it was my opinion and my assumption that there was quid pro quo. So all of this is for nothing. The person that has caused the headlines to get put up there saying that Trump committed crime, conspiracy, whatever they call it, goes up there and says point blank he's got no proof of it. It's only his opinion. And that has been the case for every witness that they've had up there. So they ask the witnesses, did Trump do wrong? All the witnesses say yes, and then they ask for proof. They've got nothing. Over and over and over again. Guys, the testimony, I mean, the phone calls that are the whole heart of this thing, they're released. You can read them for yourself, verbatim. They're out there. Just look at them. And you can see that all this thing is just smoke and mirrors. It's just a mess. But you know, I think they're trying to make it where they're going to get the non-establishment figures to have to go to Congress and waste their time instead of being out